Been 4 break-ins in just the last 2 weeks. Montgomery police are investigating and say they will increase patrols in the area. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers.
Work in the downtown area and need vehicle maintenance, C-Square Performance Automotive is now open, servicing vehicles from the high end to the low end, from brakes to motors and transmissions, oil changes, and more. C-Square can handle it, including all brands of tires. We offer financing options, including no credit check financing. If you work or live in the downtown area, stop in and see Chris Bowers, Master Automotive Diesel Mechanic, Duke Jones, Heather Walker, and Ricky Adams. C-Square offers free pickup and delivery in the downtown area. You will trust us, and your car will love us. C-Square Performance Automotive, 715 Madison Avenue.
The conservative outsider for U.S. Congress in Alabama's 2nd Congressional District is Jeff Coleman.
Well, the campaign's almost over, and charges are flying. But here's the truth. The United States military still uses our moving services all around the world, every single day, and has for 70 years. I'm looking past partisan politics to support our military and help President Trump build that wall.
Jeff Coleman's the real deal conservative in this race. He's been endorsed by the Alabama Farmers Federation, the Business Council of Alabama, and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. He's a conservative businessman, not a politician. And Jeff refuses to play political games.
Tiff and I have loved meeting you, and I'd sure appreciate your vote.
Absolutely.
I'm Jeff Coleman, the conservative businessman candidate for U.S. Congress, and I approve this message. Paid for by Jeff Coleman for Congress.
United for your comfort.
Shane is here from United, number one in the River Region when it comes to your indoor comfort. What's going on at United?
Come see us downtown at the Multiplex February 21st through the 23rd for the Home Building and Remodeling Home Expo.
Meet United staff and let them answer any questions or concerns you have with your home's heating, AC, plumbing, or electrical needs.
Maybe you have questions about hot and cold spots, tankless water heaters, Wi-Fi thermostats, or what about LED lighting and electrical panel upgrades? Or maybe you just need to know about our yearly maintenance plans.
Come see United downtown for all the answers, the latest technology, some free giveaways, and special sign-up at the show pricing for new customers for a $99 maintenance plan with a spring and fall tune-up.
If you're building or remodeling, come by our booth and see us.
Go see United February 21st to the 23rd at the Home Expo and save at the show or call 262-0247.
Or visit unitedheating.net. Check us out on Facebook.
Alabama certification number 84560.
Hey, y'all, it's Lewis at the Capitol Oyster Bar down here on that big old beautiful Alabama River. Y'all, we're cooking up fresh seafood from the Gulf. We're getting in some good old crawfish right now, some red snapper, some black grouper, swordfish. Cobia is starting to run, so spring's on the way. Good fishing going on. We're getting all kind of fresh fish. Chucking you some frying fresh oysters. Good and salty and sweet at the same time. That's right. Get on down here, y'all. Right off I-65 at North Boulevard, take that Louisville Street exit 3 times right and follow it to the end of the road, and you're going to find us down here. You'll also pass an RV park. We got you a place you can bring your camper down here, spend the night or spend a weekend or stay a week or two. So you can see what's going on down here at CapitalOysterBar.com. You'll also see the music we got coming up. Every week we bring you a killer show from all around the United States, and this week the Chris O'Leary Band is back in town. This is their 2nd visit. We really enjoyed it. The man has got a stellar voice. Can really sing, y'all. We're going to be looking for you to get down here soon. Come hungry. Remember, showtime every Sunday at 5. See you soon.
The premier place the River Region turns to for news, weather, traffic, and opinion. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Welcome back, everyone. News on 93.1 FM, Dan Morris Show on a Friday, TGIF edition. And during this time of the year, we also have our legislative roundtable. Let's bring in our legislators, Representative Mike Holmes and Senator Clyde Chambliss. And then Reed Ingram is on the phone because we have... Well, our first topic is going to be the occupational tax. Welcome, guys, to the Dan Morris Show and to Legislative Roundtable. It seems like a year ago today.
Yeah, it seems time flies when you're having fun.
Time flies when we're having fun.
Thanks for having us back.
Well, it's great to have you back. They love you guys. They love this session. We have people were bugging me going, when are you going to have one? I was going to give you all a couple of weeks to kind of get settled in and kind of figure out what's going on before I, you know, got into serious stuff here. Let's talk about the occupational tax, a.k.a. the license fee of Montgomery. Tell me what y'all see, we've had something come out of the House. It went over to the Senate. What is the status of it in the Senate, Clyde?
It's waiting for Senate action, floor action, and I would guess it would be on the floor this coming week is my guess.
On the phone with us also is Reed Ingram. You three have more to do with what's this tax than anybody out here. Reed, tell me what you think is going to happen with this, and do you think it's going to be able to pass legal muster?
Well, I think, first off, I want to say hats off to Representative Chris Sales. He represents part of the Montgomery area, and he's on the delegation, and he's it's a great leadership on his part on just about everything he does. So I want to say kudos to Representative Sales for carrying this bill. This is not a new bill. This bill, as Clyde can tell you, the exact same bill was up last year and passed the Senate. Almost unanimously. It was a bill, nothing targeted for Montgomery, nothing targeted for Montgomery. This bill was something just as a general bill, just to give the opportunity for cities to come to the local delegation if they needed it. There were some out there, there's 150 maybe, Clyde can, or Mike can tell you more, around 150 municipalities, significant size, that would have the opportunity to do it, but only 25 are collecting money. Only 25 cities out of the state are doing this, are doing an occupational tax. And we have seen in the past when they do that, it's an economic development killer. The city of Montgomery is not in an economic problem. They don't have problem with money. Their revenue has gone up. The Rebuild Alabama is helping them with the roads on projects for that significantly. And so that's a real good shot in the arm. And we've done everything we could do to help the city of Montgomery and Montgomery County. But on the other hand, we don't want this to be a negative on the Hyundais of the world, like Huntsville. Huntsville doesn't have it. They passed a local delegation that they would never do it. And look what they've got, Polaris, Redstone Arsenal, and NASA and Toyota and Mazda. Booming with economic development. They do not have an occupational tax, and nobody wants to land there to have their employees in a competitive opportunity there to where they're not competitive to be able to attract good employees. So this is nothing that's targeted to Montgomery. This is not a new bill. It's nothing against the mayor of Montgomery. It passed the Senate last year, and it just there was another bill similar to this bill that Senator Jones dropped, and we didn't like that bill because it didn't give them the opportunity. Senator Jones wanted to put it to where no city could ever pass it, period. This bill gives them the opportunity to be able to pass the bill, if they got in a pinch, to where they could find some revenue. And we have sat down, unlike what the mayor said, me and Representative Sales were summons may be a hard word. We asked to come down to the mayor's office before we passed this in the House. Before we passed it in the House, he had said we had not been in contact with him. We have. We sat down with him for over 2 hours and talked about this. And there was an opportunity laid on the table to him to negotiate. And I don't think they had the appetite to negotiate at that time because they didn't think it would pass the House. Now they're talking they want to negotiate, and I don't think we ought to negotiate, but I don't think the citizens of Montgomery or the people that live out of Montgomery ought to be taxed for having a job.
Let's go to everybody here. Clyde, how is this going to affect your district?
Well, it would be certainly a hardship over on my constituents, those that live in my area and work in Montgomery.
Is that a large percentage?
I I don't know the percentage. It's a large number of people. I do know that. And the biggest issue with it is that when we tax people, they need to be able to have representation. And that's what the bill does, is it provides them an ability to have representation over this issue. Without this bill, then the taxation would be levied without representation of those people, my constituents.
That's the biggest squawk pushback I've seen too from our Elmore County,
and you're being impacted more
heavily
than
over 10,000 people just for state jobs alone come out of Elmore County in here every day, and then all the other commuting that's going on too would be on top of that, and that's a significant amount of money. I mean, you know, I'd say their average pay is $50,000. You do the math, and I think it's somewhere around a $500 tax increase on those people. And their argument has been that, well, they're using our roads and so forth and so on. Well, they're also using and paying taxes on restaurants and
everything
else here. So it's double taxation. But as Clyde hit it right on the head, it's taxation without representation. These people didn't get a choice in that, and their Montgomery politicians are passing this without some oversight from the legislature. I like the bill. I liked it when I first heard about it last year. I like it again this year, and I'm glad we got it passed.
Do you think that this is going to pass legal muster, that you're doing a bill that actually is affecting something that's already passed?
I think so, but I am not going to be surprised with the move that the city made this last Tuesday night in their meeting, that the question winds up before the courts would probably be where this may go.
And we do this. This is not reinventing the wheel. We do a lot of stuff that is retroactive like this and put date certain. There were bills that come through my committee and came through financial services this week that had date certain, before date. So it's not reinventing the wheel. So, yes, it would be an easy thing to litigate in the state's favor and the people that aren't represented in that area, you know, so.
This bill passed the Senate 28-0 last session, so I would expect it to be of a similar nature this time.
And the mayor had talked about, you know, other municipalities that had expressed. We have not had any other municipality reach out to us, or me, or the sponsor that I know of, expressing any hardship over this except Montgomery. We had talked to him, like I say, over 2 hours. That was discussed, and there was another item discussed that would have been a no at this time as well. But that would that is a later date discussion.
Hi, as a financial advisor, I'm a very numbers oriented person. The people that this hurts the absolute worst are single moms with two children, because they basically don't pay any federal tax because of the child tax credit. And if they make $35,000, that's a $350 bill that they were not aware of. So their tax rate, federal tax rate, is zero if not getting money back. And all of a sudden you're taking $350 out of their pocket. I mean, it's really, it's just amazing how punitive this is.
I had a single mom call me the other day, and she had sent me an email, and so I called her back and just talked to her. She said she's got $300 out of her check earmarked for her parents for medication and incidentals, because they just she lives from paycheck to paycheck. And that's going to be what they're going to take out, that 1%, you know.
Yeah.
And that's the $300 that she's got earmarked for her parents for incidentals on to take care of them. And it's a hardship. It really is a hardship.
It really is, because if all of a sudden, I mean, even if you're at an effective tax rate of 10%, and you're making $50,000 without kids, then you're paying $5,000 in taxes, and then you're paying an additional $500 or 10% of your tax bill to the city of Montgomery and getting nothing. Nothing.
You know, I don't mind letting them do it and put it to a CA at this time. Or, you know, when they get into a hardship and they need the money to make sure they pay indebtedness or to provide services like law enforcement, they're not hurting no money at this time. Revenue is up as in the state and all municipalities because this internet tax, Rebuild Alabama to redo their streets, has been injected into Montgomery and coming in every day on the gas tax. Their revenue stream
is up. It's up because of lodging tax, because of sales tax.
That's right. This is a huge money grab.
It really is. It's 20% increase in the Montgomery budget. 20%.
Yes. And it's, you know, the thing about it is, it's not so much about the money with the mayor. I think the mayor is going to do a good job on leadership. I think he's got a little bit to learn with some, and he's surrounding himself with good people. I don't want to say that. So he's doing a good job. But he wants more home rule, and that's what he's crowing about. He wants to be able to. Another thing that was discussed in there about his pay increase. Now, he didn't bring it up, but one of the chief of staffs brought it up. I mean, we've given him a pay increase a couple of years ago. I don't think he didn't know what the job paid when he got the job. You know what I'm saying? And he knew he was running for that.
Yeah.
But they want to be able to, you know, home rule. And we can't do that with any municipality, as Clyde and Representative Holmes can tell you, that, you know, if we cut the chain and let them do whatever they want to do, then you would have mayors out there paying themselves $500,000 a year.
Exactly right. Let me kind of go through the team here and see what you think. Tell me, do you think this will pass? And number two, do you think it'll be litigated?
Well, I think it's going to pass. It's already passed out of the House overwhelmingly, and I think Clyde's exactly right that the Senate, based on their record from last year, with virtually the same language, they're going to pass it overwhelmingly and fast. That is my guess. Tuesday or Thursday next week.
Okay, and do you think it'll be litigated?
I think there's a 50-50 chance it will be.
Clyde?
Yeah, I would say that, probably 50-50. But, you know, in my opinion, once you open that can, you may overturn all the existing occupational taxes that apply to those who don't have representation there. So,
Stephen Reed would then be the favorite mayor of all of Montgomery, all of Alabama.
Alabama, yes.
Reed, what do you say? Going to pass? And
I think it's going to pass.
You think it'll be litigated?
If the attorneys are on retainer and they're going to pay them extra money, I would probably say the attorneys are going to say go for it. If they're not, if they're their attorneys, I think they're going to probably say you're not going to win it. So I don't think it can be defeated or overturned in their favor if it's litigated. I don't have one doubt of that being that our bill is going to hold up.
Reed, hang on for me. Rich has a question. Let me have you remain on the line. Rich, welcome over to the Dan Moore Show. You're on with Mike Holmes, Clyde Chambliss, and Reed Ingram.
Thank you, and thank you, gentlemen, for making yourself available. One quick question. Should this bill fail the test of litigation, and would y'all consider a plan B, such as pulling as many state services out of the city of Montgomery?
Now, let me answer that first, if you don't mind, because I'm going to have to get off the phone pretty quick. I would never do anything to hurt the city of Montgomery. The city of Montgomery is an economic engine for the state, as every city is, and it generates revenue. I don't want to do anything negative at all against the city, and I would not support pulling anything out of Montgomery. Period. And that's my answer.
Reed, thanks for the cell phone call. Thanks for weighing in.
Thank you all.
Clyde and Mike, how's
that? Representative Clyde, Chambliss, and Representative Holmes, I appreciate y'all. Thank y'all for your leadership. Two fine gentlemen, and they represent their areas top notch.
Reed, we'll see you next Friday.
Yes, sir.
Let's get into some of the other issues here. Let's talk prisons, which has a big impact on both of your districts. What is going on with the prison thing? It's like seems to be hide the ball.
Well, the governor's office is in the middle of a process that they're going through to solicit proposals for prisons. So those are due back April 30th. I think after that date, you'll hear a lot more about the construction aspect of it. They are also working on the non-construction aspects of it, dealing with the programming issues that we've had problems with for decades. And I would expect some legislation to be coming from the governor's office shortly on that, probably in the next week or so.
Let me do this. I missed my clock here. Let me go to a break, come back, and get into more detailed discussion on this. The Dan Moore Show, I'm with Representative Mike Holmes, Senator Clyde Chambliss. We'll be back right after this.
This magic moment, so different and so new, was like any other.
Your news talk place to be. Until the Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
It took me by surprise. I knew that you felt.
He may not know whether he's coming or going. But whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Hey, have you heard about what's happening at Wind Creek Casino and Hotel?
No, but I've heard it's the coolest casino and hotel ever.
Well, now, if you join Wind Creek Rewards, they'll reimburse you with free play for up to $1,000.
They'll give me back as much as $1,000?
I know, right? They call it the New Player Promise. And they'll also throw in some free food so we don't go hungry.
Well, what are we waiting for? Let's go to Wind Creek Casino and Hotel.
New members only. Minimum $75 loss required. Visit windcreek.com for complete rules.
While you may be making sure your pet has everything they need, the River Region Humane Societies need your help too. Blue Water Broadcasting and Best Friends Pet Resort are doing something about it. Help stuff our Sprinter van full of badly needed shelter supplies. Bring your donations to Best Friends Pet Resort. We're here when you can't be. It's our annual Paw It Forward Pet Drive. Donate what you can. From Blue Water Broadcasting and Best Friends Pet Resort.
To find out how you can help, visit newstalk931.com.
Trustworthy, accurate, immediate. Carrying your voice across the river region. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
This is where we are. Folks, you're thinking about listing or buying your home? When you think about Paul and Christy Mello with Wallace and Moody Realty, you know, I told you the story about how quickly they did the client that they had, did the listing, got an offer the next day. That is incredible. But they have a listing I want to tell you about. You can start out with a $100,000 equity in a house, $355,000. The appraisal is $455,000. It's on Monticello Drive, 6 bedrooms, 3.5 baths, 4,300 square feet, and 1.5 acres of land. You get a warranty, a pool warranty, $10,000 allowance. They got brand new roof on there, put up new privacy fence, and new windows. How do you find out about this? You call Paul and Christy at 339-7648, 339-7648. Paul and Christy Mello. Don't call Zillow, call Mello. Let's go back to our representatives here and talk persons here. First of all, is there any chance that they can still use Staten, or is Staten out of the mix because it's state property?
Well, that's been our push for quite some time now. And the way the governor's office has put this RFP out there, they've tried to leave all options on the table. When you do that, it complicates the state-owned property and because of some legal issues and location and public works law and that kind of thing. But, you know, our hope is eventually that we'll get to that point, and that's what we're pushing for because that's what makes a lot of sense. But
because aren't there 1,200 acres out there?
It's more than that.
Yeah, I think it's
1,700 acres, that one footprint. Yeah.
But they've got, and they already have a sewer and water built in there, so you save a ton. As you, as an engineer, know, you save a ton of money.
Infrastructure's already there. Even as a pretty, almost a new water storage tower there, just a few hundred yards from the property that would fit it the best. So I mean,
and the inmates can watch their new prison being built right before their eyes. I like that.
Yeah, it's well, there's not many inmates left there anymore. They're mostly in the community college over there, but. Yeah, it's most infrastructure is pretty much there. So, as Clyde says, it makes more sense than any other proposals I've heard about.
So, what do you think is going to happen in this, gentlemen?
Well, my guess is that when they get the proposals back on April 30th, then we'll start seeing a lot more definition about where and what the options are and costs and that kind of thing.
Do you think there's a possibility of the governor bypassing a legislative vote and just doing this through some type of contract?
I think it's possible. You know, if
that's what the rumor is.
If the things come back right, and there's, you know, obviously we want to make sure there's good competition, and I think the scenario is there. The thing is, with all the other items, they do require legislative action, meaning appropriation. So, you know, I know she's sensitive to that. I know that she is looking at it in a comprehensive way, and I think in due time we'll see that entire plan.
I think the proposed budget that she sent across has some provision for that already in the budget, but we don't know the detail of that yet. All we've seen is a big number. So
we
need to know what's going to mental health, for example, you know, which is the big, big issue with our judgment or our settlement that we've negotiated and agreed to, and now we've got to fulfill. So, you know, those kind of questions, I think, I agree. We need to get those in front of the legislature, because I think we're going to wind up appropriating money for that if we go anywhere close to the budget that's been proposed already.
Well, and keep it in mind, we're at the very beginning of the session.
Right.
So there's
which is why I let you guys give you 2 weeks. do you think that we'll have a prison bill along with some type of recommendation by this session, or do you think this has a possibility of a crash and burn?
There's always a possibility, but I'm very optimistic. And we've been struggling with this for 4 or 5 years now.
Well, you've been working on this for a while.
Address the core issues that are already wrong, that, you know, just simply building prisons is not going to solve. We're starting to address some of those issues that have been there for years. Let's get those taken care of. If we need some building to do that, I think we can get agreement.
You know, one of those major issues is the number of staff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've been at roughly 30% to 40% of our required staffing level. And what we've done to try to help that in conjunction with the DOC, obviously them doing the work and us appropriating the money, is we've made some additional classifications for more entry level and build up to correctional officers. We've increased some pay, done a lot better marketing on trying to get people to apply for the jobs, and it's working. It's going to take some time to get us from where we need to be, from where we are to where we need to be, but it's headed in the right direction.
Let's talk about teachers' raise and this new pension concept that's out there. Do you think the teachers' raise will happen this year? And when I add it up, I come up with a 9.6% cumulative rate since the first rate increase happened in, was it 2016?
Mm-hmm. You're talking about just payroll alone, payroll. Not the new retirement proposal.
Well, then I want to talk about the retirement proposal.
Yeah, I've noticed that, too, that we've had significant increases over the last three sessions.
I guess it's 17, 18,
and
now 20.
I'm troubled that we may be going too far too fast for that, but maybe not. We'll see. It's hard when you get the kind of increases in revenue that we've had to keep their hands off the money. And the teachers... there's no question that they're in very crucial positions, and they deserve to be paid. I think we got to watch that, though, so we don't get a runaway situation.
One thing that the governor did do on her general fund budget, and I assume education, as you all know, I focus on the general fund, but is she didn't propose spending up to the new revenue with recurring costs. So you spend some of that with recurring costs, like raises, that kind of thing, but you need to leave a margin in there. And you can use it 1 year, you know, this year, but don't spend it on things that recur from now on.
So bad days happen.
Right. And that's what she did on the general fund side, and I'm sure on the education as well. And that's prudent. That's conservative and good fiscal management. That's what we've been doing in the legislature for the last...
Averaging that J. Love came up with.
Right. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because my bill to do a similar thing on the general fund side, we're through committee. We got through the Senate last year and didn't have time to get it all the way through the House, but I've worked with the budget chair in the House in the off season, and the general fund chair, the House chair, Senate chair, the governor's office, we're all on the same page with this, and I'm hoping to have it on the floor next week.
Is it going to be in the same provision that the education fund is?
It's different. It's not a 10-year rolling average. And matter of fact, this is a scaled-down version of what my bill was last year. Chairman Klaus has dubbed it a mini rolling reserve, and I'll take that. I'll take that.
Reserve. The operative word is reserve.
Yeah, and a lot of people, they're like, well, what does that mean? And I like to explain it this way. You know, in your personal finances, you have a checking account, and maybe you have some CDs or something like that. We have those two things in the general fund, but we don't have a savings account in between those two. This reserve would be that savings account that you could go to in difficult times, but not necessarily going in and cashing out your CDs.
It's a perfect. The timing is perfect in my mind. We've just proven to the last two or three years how well the rolling reserve and the caps that are built into it for the Education Trust Fund is working. It's just doing some marvelous things that our predecessors thought through very well. They were smarter than we ever knew they were, and it's working. Why not try it? And I'm okay with it scaled down. I would like to be able to do it immediately, but we're not talking about the same, anywhere close to the same amount of revenue.
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, it's like
$2 billion versus $7.5 billion is a big difference. So scaled down is going to be pretty small. I mean, when you're talking about $1 billion, a lot of the money anytime.
Million but, here, billion there.
But in the general fund budget, it's over half of it. So it's I'm anxious to see it move forward.
Let me go to a break. Coming back, we'll get into the pension situation for teachers and being able to collect it while they're working right after this.
You're listening to The Dan Morris Show.
Carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Most of us love to make buying decisions based on referrals from others. We've built our company on the compliments and referrals of our great customers. Hi, this is Terry for Weedman Lawn Care of Montgomery. Our golf course quality timed release products feed lawns for months, not days. We make your yard greener, thicker, more kid friendly. Strive to be weed free and do so with an environmentally sound approach to lawn care. But more importantly, you might want to hear what others say about their experience with us. Carlos C. says, Weedman prices for service are very competitive. The difference is you get the best service in the area. I highly recommend you call and get a quote from Weedman. Thanks, Carlos. Weedman is recommended by landscapers, golf course superintendents, and people like Chara S. who gushes. Weedman is very professional, timely, courteous, knowledgeable. I could keep going, but you get the point. I've used other lawn care services, but Weedman exceeds them all. That's quite a compliment. Go to WeedmanUSA.com for a free quote. Lawn care companies are not all alike. Go to WeedmanUSA.com today.
Hey, this is David from Mr. Sandman Mattress, and I know February has President's Day and Valentine's Day and probably some other great reasons to have a sale, but it's also my anniversary month, so we're having our month-long anniversary sale. No, not my store's anniversary. More important, my wedding anniversary, 45 years. To celebrate this amazing occasion, Mr. Sandman is discounting hundreds of beds and mattresses, Serta's, Beauty Vest, Jameson, Diamond, and others must be liquidated to make room for new models. Fresh stock and floor samples are available at tremendous discounts off our regular sale prices. Wood and iron beds are on sale. Many are well below original wholesale prices. We have a large inventory of adjustable bases on sale and in stock. Please visit us on the Atlanta Highway, Mr. Sandman Mattress Superstores. Another big deal. The Lehigh's Class of 70 is having their 50th reunion in May. Check with us on Facebook or call me at Mr. Sandman if you have not been contacted or if you know someone we need to contact. I know you'll regret it if you miss it.
Hey, this is Lyle from Margaret's and Swizza Jewelry, and I do my radio advertising on Blue Water. I'll tell you what, I use most of the stations, and I've been using it for so long. It's hard to tell with the money you spend on advertising if it does any good. When they come in and say, I heard you on the radio, I know it's Blue Water, and I love Blue Water.
Radio advertising works. Our advertisers swear by it. Call Blue Water Broadcasting if you want to find out how we can increase your sales and bottom line. Blue Water Broadcasting. Local folks helping local business.
Fox News, I'm Rich Dennison. The U.S. and Taliban agree to a 7-day reduction of violence in Afghanistan as a first step to a possible peace plan.
If the truce is successful, a broader U.S.-Taliban peace deal could be signed next weekend. That would pave the way for talks between the Taliban and the Afghan government and potentially American troop withdrawals.
Fox's Simon Owen. Police in Hawaii arresting a woman whose children disappeared almost 5 months ago. 46-year-old Lori Vallow facing two felonies for desertion of her son and daughter who were last seen in Idaho.
There are investigators, law enforcement from Idaho here.
Prosecutor Justin Kohler says Vallow is also charged with several misdemeanors and is being held on $5 million bond. Coronavirus now blamed for more than 2,200 deaths, mostly in China. More than 75,000 cases confirmed around the world. America is listening to Fox News.
Rich Thomas Weather Network is brought to you by Montgomery Subaru. The experience you want from a dealer is at Montgomery Subaru. 3000 Eastern Boulevard or on the web at MontgomerySubaru.com. Montgomery Subaru.
Rich Thomas Weather. Hi, everybody. Definitely feels like February out there today. A chilly day, a breezy day. High temperature up to about 51, but bright sunshine, that helps. Clear, cold tonight. Overnight low temperature down to about 29 by first thing in the morning. Tomorrow, cool sunshine, but a nice day. Saturday's high, upper 50s. Sunday's high in the low 60s. I think we're dry during the day Sunday, but a chance of rain again on Sunday night into Monday. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Looking to save money in 2020? Shift your high-interest credit card balances to a new card from ASE and receive 0% interest for 12 months. Apply online or visit a branch today. ASE Credit Union, your life, your goals, your ASE. Terms and conditions apply. Equal opportunity lender.
All the headlines the mainstream media won't touch. Your News Talk station. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Legislature Roundtable today, Friday, in the session. Representative Mike Holmes, Senator Clyde Chambliss in the House. 272-9228, that's where we are. Let's go to this consideration for pension for teachers. In reading it, it seems that once they hit 30 years as a teacher, they can actually start drawing their retirement. Tell me if I'm wrong with this. And so, therefore, we're supposed to be able to sustain more teachers with this. So if a teacher starts at 32, works 30 years, 52, then they can take their pay plus their retirement benefit early. Am I correct with that?
That's the way I understand it. It really is two components to it. That component...
It's kind of like a drop...
Yeah,
program
it's
on
trying
stewards.
To make up some ground. I guess, again, our predecessors were...
Closer to the mic, please.
Our predecessors were genuinely feeling a need when they tried to save some money in the education budget by cutting out that one tier, mm-hmm. But it's hurt on the hiring. Now that we're in a situation where we can't get science teachers and math teachers and virtually any teachers, that was one move they could do, I think, that should work out. But again,
but the problem is when I hear someone say that, how many people that are going to do this are going to be science and math teachers versus somebody else that's out there that's just a general teacher?
I don't think they have a formula for that, so I guess it's going to be whatever their needs are.
I have no problem paying if somebody is science and math, giving them some type of bonus incentive.
I like that much better myself, but I've not been able to get much traction with that.
What happens is everybody jumps in the boat and it says, let's go skiing type thing. Yeah. It's the government's money. Clyde, how say you?
Well, I don't know the details of that bill yet because it's been in the House. I think y'all passed it last week. Mm-hmm. Is that right? So we'll be taking that up. Obviously the number one and primary concern and the reason why it was changed to begin with is to make sure that we remain solvent for the commitments that we've already made. So that's the number one consideration. We've got to make sure that we remain solvent to fulfill those commitments.
Solvent, and you're talking about in the retirement system.
Right. For those that are already retired and that are already hired. Now, secondly, we do need to make sure that we remain competitive and are able to attract new teachers and that sort of thing. So, and that seems to be the situation we're in now. And this is part of that puzzle. I think there are other issues that contribute to that as well.
Just logic. So somebody is going to make a 30-year decision to come to Alabama because the pension law says you can collect a pension at 30 years and still teach. That just is nonsensical to me.
I can't disagree with you. Yeah, that I wish that they had that kind of long standard for thinking, but I doubt many.
Long view.
I would say, because I've heard people say this, that are in the teaching profession now, that is something that they encourage their children to look at. So it's a multi-generational thing that some people do. Most don't. I agree with you on that.
No, well, but the reason they do that is because a teacher has incredible health insurance, yes, incredible retirement, incredible longevity once they skip the 10-year period. Or actually the 3-year period, but 10 years you're locked. I mean, people go, well, we don't pay our teachers what they pay in Georgia. Well, Georgia pays you an amount of money, and you take a percentage of that money, and you put it in a 401k, not a little bit of it's taken out for your pension.
Yeah, I agree. It's a huge advantage. It doesn't get the credit it should in Alabama.
No.
It doesn't.
And we don't. They don't give any value to that.
And the cost is proportionate too. It costs us a lot of money to do that.
So, what do you think is going to happen with that?
I think the Senate will pass something. I think it will. There will be some modifications to what the House sent us. Probably, I'm guessing be a little more conservative. Although the plan that they've passed, I think, is conservative. But I think we might tighten it up a little bit more.
Let's go to medical marijuana. Tell me where the status is of that. What do you two gentlemen think about that?
I actually printed the bill yesterday for review this weekend. I've gotten through the first couple of pages. It's something that I have mixed emotions about. Certainly, I'm not in favor of recreational marijuana, and I'm not in favor of moving in that direction at all. But then also have seen evidence, from some of my constituents, right, actually, of the benefits. And, who am I to say they shouldn't be able to have those benefit, health benefits. So it's very, very difficult decision for me. I'm reading the bill in detail, and I want to make sure the proper controls and procedures and all that are in there.
One thing that was missing to me is the dispensing of it. Who's going to be the dispensary for this?
Yeah, and I don't know that answer. I know that's addressed in the bill. And
medical doctors with that script writing.
Right, they write the prescription, but it doesn't say who the dispensary is of it.
Licensed dispensary is what our...
Right. Well, Walgreens isn't going to do it. Walgreens has said, we're not going to dispense any medical marijuana in any place, even if it's legal there, because we're worried they're going to come in and bust us in the banking clause.
I hadn't heard that, but it's a reasonable opinion for them to take. I tell you, Dan, this whole question was really, my clarification came through a lot better after reading an opinion letter that our Attorney General wrote about 3 weeks ago. I don't know if you've seen it or not, but it's one of the most well-researched. It looks like a science paper. He's had about four pages of script and then four pages of footnotes and references to his research. It looked like a high-level medical kind of a paper. He really did his research, and he came down with his emotions too, I think, and joined in that it's a slippery slope, and his research was all over the nation looking at what the consequences have been. And virtually every case has led to recreational marijuana within 3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's the next question. It's a slippery slope that you're going there. And I have compassion. I know Clyde's getting them. I'm getting dozens and dozens of calls and emails with family members with just horrific stories of pain, and the only thing they found to do any good with it is some sort of a cannabinoid substance, either CBD oil or some level of THC in marijuana. So it's a tough question.
And I have one right down the street from me, a young man that has tremendous health issues and, 300-plus seizures a month. And when he was able to take advantage of the CBD oils, it goes down to seizures every other day or two.
He has access to now, right?
Right. I can't just ignore that.
No, absolutely.
It's been a life changer for him, his family. Essentially, before, it just unresponsive, couldn't interact at all, and now he has a life, and I can't just ignore that.
Real quickly, tell me about gaming. What's going to happen on the Indian gaming proposal?
I can tell you my feedback from my constituents within my district and the statewide ones that I hear from are negative on that proposal. Everybody's having a hard time making the numbers come out anywhere that close to what they're talking about, given the revenue streams that they're claiming. So I've still got a lot of questions. It's a broad proposal. One of the most unpopular provisions is granting them a monopoly.
Exclusive.
Yeah, exclusive monopoly, and that's just not auguring well with people that believe in the free enterprise system, including me. I'm a free enterprise guy, and I think you have to have that component.
Well, we have to put this in perspective as well. $1 billion is a lot of money.
Right.
A lot of money.
But it's not $1 million straight to the state.
But it is 4% of our annual budget. Four, a little over 4% of our annual. So it is a lot of money, but it's not sell the farm amounts of money.
Exactly.
So, you know, exclusivity and all that, you know, that I just can't see that happening.
How about the part of economic development of building casinos? That other $1 billion that you have a large sum that's going to be used to build a casino in Huntsville and Birmingham.
Those monies would be outside of that $1 billion.
It's in addition to?
Yeah, that would be their private investment.
Are you sure?
That wouldn't be state money. No.
No, it's not state money. I'm just saying when they calculate the $1 billion, they're putting that into the calculation.
I don't know.
I don't know the answer to that either. I haven't thought about it that way.
Let me, yes, sir.
We need to do the drawing very quick.
Oh, gosh, we forgot.
The
How
Sweet
did that happen?
And we'll do it without fanfare. Paging Dwayne. Dwayne, you're the winner of the Sweet Creek Farm Market gift basket. $60 worth. Dwayne, give us a call.
Dwayne, call me. You're going to get a treat there. Let me go to the phones and go to Eric, you're on with Mike Owens and Clyde Chambliss.
How you doing?
Good.
If you ask me, see, about the medical marijuana, the whole state of Alabama needs revenue. You need something that's going to gravitate major revenue in the state of Alabama, because it's not, the money is not right. No one, you need work in this state. You need medical marijuana. You need recreational marijuana. You need professional gaming.
Prostitution.
No, we don't need no prostitution.
Oh, come on. Why stop? Why not? Come on. If you're going to have the others, you got to have that.
Right. No. That's not necessarily true, sir. That's not necessarily true. That's why we need data analysts. That's why we need proven data analysts on what's going on. Because we don't need theories. Theories, that's no good.
I agree with that.
We need proven based evidence that this is what it's going to do. And I know in the state of Alabama, because we don't have it, man, recreational marijuana will make quadruple millions on top of millions.
Okay, but you're talking about, Eric, how big is the state budget?
I don't know.
Combined $9 billion. So you're going to have
to
make... right. Good job, Eric. Eric, thanks for the telephone call. Got to go to a break. Coming back with Mike and Clyde right after this.
Or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Hey, bada bada bada.
Hey there, I'm Kim Williams with Alabama Home Mortgage, and my team is ready to step up to the plate and save you some money with an Alabama Home Mortgage loan. I'm not talking about saving peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I'm talking about real money, folks. What are you waiting for? If you've struck out in the past, it's time to take another swing. Don't waste your time with the rookies. Call the big leagues who can save you big money. That's Alabama Home Mortgage. Pick up the phone right now and dial 567-4223. That's 567-4223. Alabama Home Mortgage will go to bat for you. Our all-star team was ranked number one in Alabama for a reason, and that reason is you. You have trusted us with your mortgage needs. You've thrown us the ball. The bases are loaded, and we are ready to hit a grand slam. Whether you're looking to pay off credit card debt, finance higher education, or do home improvements, refinancing could be the answer. Wait no longer. Call your home team, Alabama Home Mortgage, today at 567-4223, or visit us online at myalabamahomemortgage.com. Alabama Home Mortgage, because there is a difference in mortgage companies. NMLS 372-3784, Equal Housing Lender.
Your News Talk place to be. The Dan Morris Show, noon till 3. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Now, back
back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
Okay, so real quickly, gaming dead, gaming alive, or gaming in remission?
I think it's alive, but I think it there's really nothing that's changed. You have the non-Indian and the Indian gaming and back and forth, and any bill has to kind of weave through that, and I don't see it happening without those two sides sitting down and coming up with an agreement. If they ever did that, then I think it would fly through the legislature.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Mike. Mike, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show. You're on with Mike Holmes and Clyde Chambliss.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you for what you're doing.
Yes, sir.
My wife, I know firsthand, and I'm calling about the medical marijuana thing. My wife was diagnosed approximately a decade or so ago with rheumatoid arthritis and fibromyalgia, two of the 15 points that are listed on the medical marijuana. And I know from firsthand the medications that she has had to take over the years have been opioids, have been time-released morphine, things of that nature. And I have seen when we visited family in other states, firsthand where she did not have to take these horrible drugs for up to 3 days after having the CBD or the cannabinoid. So I would first thank you for taking it up, especially in a state like Alabama. I do not, I'm not 100% certain where I fall on the recreational marijuana. I kind of lean away from that. But as far as the medical marijuana, I, as a husband, have seen it firsthand and the benefits that it can do. So I would definitely encourage you guys to look at that and definitely look at who it affects and who it can affect in the future.
Thanks for the telephone call, Mike. I appreciate it. We're running out of time here. Let me go to the phone, so we'll go to Buddy. Buddy, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show. You're with Mike Holmes and Clyde Chambliss.
Good afternoon, Dan, Mike, Joey, and brother-in-law Clyde.
Put that one in. What's up?
Hey, y'all might have done talk about this. I just got back in the truck. How's the Senate going to come down, do you think, on the occupational tax in Montgomery?
Yeah, we talked about that earlier. We it's passed. That's okay. Five of six steps, and my guess is in the next week or so it'll pass that last step. The Senate did pass a bill identical to this last year, 28-0. So I would imagine it would be a similar number. There'd probably be a few on the opposition side this year just because of the situation in Montgomery, but I would expect it to pass in the next week or so.
Okay. All right, man. I appreciate your time.
Thanks, Lee. Appreciate you. Buddy, welcome aboard the day. Who's the winner?
Dwayne, and that was Buddy that we just hung up
from. Oh, that was Buddy we just hung up from. Sorry.
Dwayne Gall is about the Sweet Creek gift basket.
Dwayne, tweet. Dwayne, give me a call, Buddy. It's Friday. Let's go to Lee real quick. Sorry about that.
Hey, afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
So Mike kind of stole my thunder about the cannabis situation. I lost a brother-in-law who's like a brother to me just a few years ago, about 3 years ago. And one of the few things that, I mean, he was in stage four really bad. And one of the few things that relieved the situation is he had to go out and get illegal substance just to get some relief, because he was trying all these high-end drugs and they were making him sick. And they'd pass out, just like be sitting there passed out, and he just couldn't do it. So he's like, there's got to be something else. He goes to Jackson, Mississippi, and the doctor recommends. He's like, this is the only thing you can do. So it shouldn't be forced to that level. And another thing, Dan, you and I have talked about this before, but it seems like, why is the only savior of Alabama going to be casinos, lotteries, or legalizing marijuana? What happens to just some damn good old-fashioned work and starting a business? Why don't we look to means that can spur that for people instead of figuring out all these other things that are going to prey on society? We're already a consumer-based society. That's all we need is more stuff to consume.
There you go.
Amen, brother.
Yeah, let me tell you, Dick Brubaker said, you're never going to raise Where's a great government on vices?
Well, exactly. That's a good point. I mean, that's actually exactly where we are right now. Both our general fund and education budgets are better than they have been in decades. And it's because of the booming economy and people
private
having
enterprise.
Job and working the capitalistic system.
Right. I mean, it's amazing what a little business acumen and some common damn sense will do.
There you go. You're that kind of guy.
Anyway. Well, you know, I love you guys. I listen to it week after week. You know, I don't have a chance to call in like I used to. In the days like today, I mean, you guys are in rare form and you're killing it. And, you know, I believe you all really care about what happens to the state of Alabama and the people in it. So, you know, there's a lot of us that do too.
Thanks,
Lee.
Thank you for your call.
And Joey, you know, we love you all.
Thanks. Bye. Appreciate it an awful lot. Appreciate the call. Tell me what we need to be looking for next week or in the session in general that we should be scared of.
Well, on the Senate side, we've got sunset bills that we're in the middle of. I'm the chair of the sunset, the Senate chair. We've gone 17 out of 28 of those bills, and they're kind of mundane when they get to the floor level because all the work is done during the off season. So we'll do those, and hopefully we'll do the occupational tax sometime this week. Hopefully we'll do the general fund reserve. So that's kind of what I see happening in the Senate next week.
One of the things that we've had a little bit of discussion on here today has been the Alabama State Lottery. That's starting to move. Representative Klaus, Chairman Klaus of the General Fund Budget in the House, is sponsoring that bill. And he's taken a lot of the things that have been popular in the past as we've been looking at this for several years now, much longer than I've been there looking at this. He seems to have come up with some compromises in the middle, so I think that one's going to get some momentum. His is a constitutional amendment, so it will require a vote of the people, which has always been one of my checking points before getting behind any of these. The people need to be able to vote on it, not just pass without the people. So I think that's going to be a big one coming from the House.
Is there anything in the session in general that we should be scared of?
I'm sure there's plenty there. If we're going to have 1,000 or more bills introduced, you need to be scared about half of them.
You haven't dug down that deep into the bill stack, huh?
No. I'm like Clyde. I try to stay 1 week ahead so I can kind of understand what's going to happen next week.
One thing I would caution people about, I get a lot of emails about somebody's hair's on fire about a particular issue. Keep in mind that there are 140 legislators. Any one legislator can introduce any one bill about anything. That doesn't mean everybody down there believes it or is in favor of it or, you know, that kind of thing. So I get a lot of that. So, you know, just keep that in mind that there are always going to be things that you don't agree with that are introduced, and that's just part of our system.
Wait, Clyde, you're not for vasectomies for men over 50?
No, not mandatory.
Well, gentlemen, I appreciate you an awful lot. You guys are the audience loves y'all. You're very informative. I guess maybe we need to start doing this for an hour and a half instead of just an hour, but I appreciate your friendship. Appreciate your time. Thank you so much. Y'all, too, have a great weekend. Clyde, you go to work tomorrow?
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. Guys, thanks so very much. Joey, thank you for a great show.
Good show.
Who won it again?
Dwayne.
Dwayne, you got a call, baby. Be good. Be safe. Be back Monday at 12 o'clock and keep doing this until I get it right. Greg Budell the Great, he's next. Adios.